Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Crazy busy, overbooked, overstretched, and about to snap.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm too busy to notice how busy I am, and I'll get even more panic.
Clinking, clattering, cacophony of collisionist cogs and camshafts. Take that!
I'm Jim Burns. Now, we live in a culture that wants us to believe that having lots of stuff is actually a good thing. The media is relentless in preaching the gospel of perfection through consumption, and as a result, many families are buried under piles of things they thought would make them happy, but, well, it really didn't. Nothing you can buy can ever take the place of a good, healthy, God-honoring relationship with another human being. And during the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with author and speaker Joanne Heim about how healthy relationships are essential if you're looking for ways to really simplify your life.
Crazy busy. Does that describe your life right now? Chances are, if you're like most people, there's a portion of your world, at least, that is really, really out of control. How do we kind of dial it back a little bit and still get done everything God is calling us to do? Well, today on the Homeward Broadcast, part two of a conversation featuring Dr. Jim Burns and author Joanne Heim, talking about the joy of simplicity in a world of more. From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. So grateful to have you along for the ride here, part two of this two-part conversation. By the way, if you missed any part of it, remember we stream audio at homeward.com, so if you didn't hear part one, you can go back to our website and hear it again. In just a moment, I'll also give you information on how you can podcast along with us too and join the growing podcast Homeward audience. And now here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is a continuing conversation with Joanne Heim. We're talking about the joy of simplicity in a world of more. We so often are yearning for the simple life, the gentler life, the kinder life, a family that is almost like Little House on the Prairie, if you remember that television show. And yet for most people, there are piles of paper, piles of laundry, piles of everything, needy kids, needy spouses, calendars that are full. And yet, Joanne Heim has written a great book called Living Simply, Choosing Less in a World of More. What I appreciate about Joanne is that she's not saying we should all move to a commune someplace out in the middle of nowhere, but that we've got to figure out how to do it in the midst of life. Joanne, welcome back to our program.
Thank you so much.
Great to be with you. We were having these conversations just last time about the incredible importance it is to simplify. And yet I would say that for many of our listeners, they would say the most difficult thing in the world is to say no to the good stuff. More no to ice hockey and more to, you know, another dance recital and no to all this stuff. But even sometimes no to some of the financial things that get us in trouble. Do you find that people struggle with that word? Both in English and Spanish. No.
Absolutely. Right. And I think you make such a good point that when you start to simplify your life, it's like cleaning out your closet. The stuff that goes first are the stretch pants from the 1980s and the leg warmers. Those are easy to get rid of.
Roger just threw his out.
You know what? They're coming back into fashion.
Yeah, good. Roger,
so maybe
you should
have kept them. But it's easy to get rid of the stuff that you don't really like.
Right.
But when you only have so much space in your closet and it's filled to overflowing, at some point you have to go, you know, I really do like this. Even though I don't wear it very much, maybe it needs to go. And so you have to start saying no to some of those things that that you do like, but recognize that it's a season. My mother, again, always talks about life in terms of seasons. And just because we're saying no to this activity now doesn't mean that another opportunity for it won't come down the road where it fits better with our life.
You know, that is interesting. Now, you mentioned your mother, and we talked previously about the fact that you really have a good relationship with your mother. There's a lot of people who yearn to have that kind of a relationship. What are some of the things that you learned from your mother about the joy of simplicity in a world of more?
My mom is from the South. She is very much a gracious Southern lady. But she always put a premium on her relationships with people above all else. And when I think of my mom, I think about her opening our home. I think about her caring about people. I think about the friendships that she had with other women. And those are the ways that I really want to be like her.
Now, let's talk about those friendships. You write about this in your book, Living Simply, Choosing Less in a World of More. And one of the key simplifying acts, if you would, in lives, you say, is to have kind of a circle of friends around you, kind of do life together. I think there's some people who say, you know what, I am so busy right now that I don't have the kind of friendships that I had, you know, when I was in high school or when I was in college or when I was younger. You know, how do they get back and find those kind of friendships if they're yearning for that?
You know, I think you have to make it a priority and you have to recognize that it takes time. I think about my kids now where they go to school on the first day and it's, I have a new best friend. It doesn't quite happen like that as an adult. But you find those people that you kind of connect with, and even just to say to them, hey, I really like you and I want to get to know you more. I mean, who doesn't like it when somebody approaches them in that way? And to give it time. And even if that means, hey, I'd like to get to know you better, but my day's kind of full. If you have to go to the grocery store, so do I. Let's go together.
No, and those are really practical ways to do it. One of the things that you say in your book is that we need to have a core support system that really is made up of Christ followers. Not that every person that we would have as a friend would be a Christian necessarily, but what do you see as the difference between somebody that you might just have an acquaintance with or be kind of this core support system, and how do you develop that?
I have both of those kinds of friends, and I love the people in those groups very dearly. But Tobin and I went through a hard time in our marriage a couple of years ago, and it was those friends who are believers who got me through it, because they helped carry the burden of what I was going through, and they understood that while making a meal for me was helpful and watching my kids was helpful, that God ultimately was the help that we needed. And I knew that they could pray in such a way, and it made a huge difference.
Now, you talk about friend for a season or a friend for life. What do you mean by that?
I think you have those friends where you connect because your lives intersect for a while. You kind of walk down the same path, whether it's your kids are involved in a sport together or you're in a Bible study together and you like one another, but then you sort of go on your separate ways. And I think those friendships are wonderful too. But there are those kindred spirit kind of Anne of Green Gables kind of friendships that last forever, where there's just this amazing connection. And no matter how much time goes between the time you talk, you just pick up like
right,
it was yesterday.
Right. You know, and that takes a lot of intentionality. My wife, Kathy, her best friend this last year died. And they were best friends from elementary school, junior high school, and actually went to college together. In fact, Kathy's friend and her husband, the husband and I would laugh and say, well, actually, I think they like each other better than they like us. Because when they would get together, and they may not talk, one was in Seattle, one was here in Southern California. But it was just this amazing bonding that took place. What I saw with them over the years was that it was absolutely intentional. They made sure that they spent time together. At least once or twice a year, they would be together physically. They would spend time together. Maybe Carolyn would come down our way, and then I'd take care of the kids, and Kathy and Carolyn would just walk on the beach. We lived near the coast, and they would talk, and they would pray, and this was the person, kind of the go-to person. But it took intentionality like crazy, didn't it?
It does, and it requires some sacrifice.
Right.
I have a group of girlfriends, and we send email, we talk on the phone, but some of them are not married. Some of them have since gotten married. Some have a lot of children. Some don't have any children. We all are very, very different. And so our lives just don't always line up perfectly. And so to spend time together to decide, I'm going to set money aside and buy a plane ticket and we're going to get together. And we do once every fall, and we go someplace different and we spend a weekend in our pajamas hanging out. And it's the best.
No, that really is important. And I think what we're trying to say is they may not be able to have to go on a plane to do this, but that we have to be intentional about it and actually make some sacrifices. So that means if you're married, then your spouse is going to take care of the kids during that time, but encourage your spouse to have those kinds of friendships and relationships. I'm going on a fishing trip here in not too long with the guys in my support group. And Kathy's saying, great, go experience it, because she knows it'll make me a better husband and a better father by hanging out with these amazing people that I have the privilege to do life with.
And that's huge, because I think sometimes we enter into marriage thinking, I found this perfect person who's going to meet my every need. My husband doesn't meet my every need. I need friends. And so he, like you said, is very supportive of that. He knows that if I go away and I can not be mommy for a while, that I come back with renewed energy and passion for my family.
No, and that's important. We're actually talking today with Joanne Heim. We're talking about the joy of simplicity in a world of more. One of the things that I want to be able to say is that if we are living our life in crisis mode living, we're spinning the plate of our marriage, then we're spinning the plate of our family, we're spinning the plate of raising our children, we're spinning the plate of our school activities and work activities and extended family activities, and maybe you have an ill parent who you're still dealing with as well, that it's going to be hard to develop the kind of friendships that we need. But the fact is we need those friendships to make sure that we can kind of put it all together. And so if you have deep friendships that have now become casual, or casual friendships that don't exist anymore, then one of the things we're saying is, you know, go back and develop these kind of relationships. They're not going to necessarily come to you. You're going to have to swallow and make the phone call and start making it happen. We're going to take a break, Roger. And when we come back, more talking about the joy of simplicity in a world of more. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
And we are grateful that you've tuned into the Homeward broadcast as well. Earlier in the program, I did mention the fact that we podcast the Monday through Friday edition. This is the daily broadcast that goes out to hundreds of stations across the country on a public service basis. We have all these stations who are carrying us, been in partnership in terms of ministry, and we're so grateful to be part of that partnership. You can also get the audio from our iTunes account. And we've made it simple for you to start podcasting along with us. We know there are millions of programs that podcast. One of the easiest ways to get your podcast subscription going is to go to homeward.com, free access there, hit the radio broadcast button, and then you'll see the podcast tab. And when you hit that tab, it'll take you right to our site on iTunes, and you can go ahead and get that all set up. So then it just goes right to your iPod or your MP3 player, your computer, however you'd like to podcast us. You can have Homeward on demand, as they like to say, and you can start with a program that is actually this program today, designed to help you live simply and unclutter your life just a little bit. We'll be right back.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
All right, sweetie, dinner's in the microwave, and I shouldn't be too late.
Do you really have to work tonight, Mom?
If I want to hit my sales goal for the month, yes.
But you're always at work. Mom, I wish you could just quit.
Well, it's not that simple, Heather.
Why not?
Because if I don't work, then we lose my income, which means a smaller house for our family, and no more vacations in Hawaii every year, and don't get me started about college and a new car for you. Are you ready to make that kind of sacrifice?
Too many of us as parents are knocking ourselves out with work schedules designed to keep our kids stocked with the best of everything. Well, families are overcommitted today and underconnected, and the dizzying work schedules we keep are a big part of the problem. Here's my advice. Quit working so hard. For a free copy of my tip sheet called 6 Principles for Teaching Your Children the Value of Simple Living, go to homeward.com. A guest appearance by Amy Grant, Simple Things. You know, Joanne, it's funny, I kind of got bebopping along with that music, but in many ways, that is a profound song that's very scriptural, saying, let's focus on the simple things. It's what we're talking about today. I had an experience with Amy. We were interviewing Amy for our program, and Amy said something, and I want you to comment on it, because I want to talk about family and food and things like this at the dinner table. We talked about that a little bit last time, and Amy was saying that one day in particular had been a crazy day. She has 4 kids, and she at night had literally fed the kids hot dogs and potato chips. And she was talking to her older sister. There's 4 girls in the family. Her father's a physician. They live in the Atlanta area. And one of her older sisters is kind of a mentor to her. And so she called her sister up. It was about 10:30 and said, you know, it's embarrassing. I fed my kids hot dogs and potato chips, and that was dinner. The sister said, well, you know, Amy, it seems to me that your kids are well fed and they probably don't usually have that. There's a nice roof over their head. You know what? I think that was just fine. And Amy was saying that she felt ashamed that she had had this quick meal. In many ways, what you're saying is sometimes we just have to simplify it. It's not like, don't feed your kids hot dogs every day, but sometimes you just go simple so that you can spend some good time with your kids.
Right. And I think as mothers, we have huge influence in our families. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Boy, we say that at our house all the time.
So true. If I rush around trying to cook perfectly balanced, healthy meal on a day when I am already running low, chances are by the time I sit down at the table, I am not going to be in a very happy space. I'm going to nitpick at my kids. They're going to feel tense because I've been tense. Yeah. Feed him peanut butter and jelly. I think about that verse in Proverbs where it talks about better a meal of vegetables than like fattened calf with strife or something. Right. It was something along those lines. You know, better hot dogs and potato chips in happiness.
You know, that's a great point. You know, I find that with our kids, if we have a simple meal, it does. They don't care. It's more Kathy who's pushing that, or I'm thinking about it. But obviously, we do want balanced meals most of the time. But, you know, like you're saying, peanut butter and jelly works, if especially if the family can have some good time playing together or doing some of the other important things.
Well, a meal is more than what you eat. Mealtime is about so much more.
Well, you have something that you call dinners with Jesus, and it's kind of lessons that you teach your kids. Talk about having dinners with Jesus.
I think I started thinking about mealtime growing up. And in my family, my dad was in the military, not living on a huge salary. Eating out was a rare treat. So we ate dinner around the family every time, you know, around the family dinner table every night. And I just started thinking about all the things that I learned at the table. We learned manners. We learned how to pray out loud. We learned how to listen to grown-up conversation. Last time you were talking about having missionaries come into your own home and letting your kids be exposed to that. My parents did the same thing. And so I think they learned to give and take in conversation. And mealtime is, you can wolf down your dinner pretty quick, but mealtime can last much longer and be full of so many great lessons.
I think the mistake we make is we think that it's the food. Let's get the food on the table. Let's move to the next thing. But in reality, it has to become kind of an experience that draws us together as a family. And obviously, we can't do this every day. It just doesn't happen. We want to as often as we can. But it has to be, you know, much more, in many ways, proactive. And really, you talk a lot about being proactive in your book, Living Simply. And one of the other aspects is that we have to recognize the Sabbath. You know, the Sabbath literally means to rest. Obviously, in a Orthodox Jewish home, Sabbath has some real legalism to it, and yet there's some healthy parts to that too. How do you, in the midst of a crazy, fast-paced life, rest, get some time to rest? How do you do that in this world?
I think the important thing, like we've talked about before, is as parents, that's something we have to learn how to do to model it to our children. And I think, again, you have to get your whole family on board. In my family, there are some things that I would like to do to make our life even more simple than it is. I would like to check television out to the curb. It's never going to happen in my family. So when it comes to things like taking a day of Sabbath rest, I know my whole family has to be on board with that. And whether that's, you know what, on Sunday afternoons, we're all going to play games together, or we're all going to climb in the bed and watch a movie, or we're going to read a book together. There's so many different ways that you can come up with fun ideas to make it something that your kids enjoy.
You know, it's interesting, and I want to key in on this for a moment, because in my book, Confident Parenting, that I just wrote, I talk about a lesson of the Sabbath. And I don't think you have to be legalistic.
Oh, no.
One of the things that I learned from Ruth Graham, the daughter of Billy and Ruth Belgram, was that they had Sabbath on Sundays at the Graham home. And she said, we actually really ended up looking forward to it. There were times when our Sabbath was going to be different than adult Sabbath, but it was the board games, it was simple meals, it was the family kind of coming together. Actually, friends from their ministry and also relatives, their grandparents lived right down below, would come up to their house. It was just different than what happened the other 6 days. So sometimes what we probably need to do is find a way, and it may not be for 24 hours, it may not be for 12, it may be for 3,
right.
But just find some time where the family comes together. And I know a family who goes on an ice cream run every Monday. In some ways, that's a little bit of a Sabbath, because the kids look forward to having an ice cream run every, you know, Monday night. And the family, if they have any tension, it's not the time to talk about it. So in some ways, it's saying, here's how we typically do life, but we're going to do something different. It's going to have some rest involved.
Right. It's a time in your family that's set apart to be different and to be special. And it doesn't necessarily have to happen on a Sunday. If you're involved in your church, Sundays are not necessarily restful days. We talked earlier about how do you get ideas for how to do this? And, you know, I think talking to other women and other friends and other families is a great idea. And I knew a woman once, and every day of the week, there was one special thing. And their kids knew, hey, on Wednesdays, we get to eat candy. We don't get to eat candy any other day. Sunday nights, we're going to have family movie night. That's one that my family does. We love that. Sunday nights, you put on your pajamas, put in a movie, we pop popcorn, and that's what we eat for dinner.
No, it's great. And that's a great way. And it's something where it builds a neat tradition within the family. I think a lot of families have lost the Well, the understanding of even what traditions are all about. And so we've got to be intentional about going into that. And I appreciate that because it's so simple. Celebrations, family celebrations. How do you, it seems like some celebrations. The other day I was at the park near our house and there was a birthday party going on and I could see that they had rented a pony that they had a merry-go-round. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, this thing probably cost them $2,000 just to have this experience. And literally the kids looked almost bored as I was driving by. Now, if there was a pony, they probably weren't all that bored, but pony was just kind of getting ready. And yet you're saying celebrate, but celebrate in a more simplistic manner.
I am. My mother's queen of Christmas. She will wrap up sticks of gum individually to make Christmas last longer. That's just how she is. And I really started thinking about this because I've inherited that from her. I love to have a party and I love Christmas and birthdays and all that kind of stuff. But we already, with young children, figured out we can't keep up with other people. So what are we going to do? And I was brushing my teeth one day and had an epiphany moment. And I thought, you know what? We celebrate the story, not the stuff. And that was so huge for us. And so birthdays in my family are not parties where everybody from school comes over. Birthdays, we do just our family. And as part of that birthday, we celebrate the story of that person's life. So for my girls, we get out the baby book and they get to look at pictures of when they were born and when they were tiny, and they get to ask a lot of questions. And they now know the story of us waiting for them to arrive so well that if I miss something, they go, "Oh, you forgot something." And Christmas has become, we've started celebrating Advent more, where we add a new piece to the story every day in the days leading up to Christmas. And it has prolonged the celebration, which is something that I was wanting. It's not adding more stuff to my basement or my garage, which I like. And it's just, the kids love it. And it creates all this time together as a family.
Great input. It's the story, not the stuff. That actually pretty much summarizes what we've been talking about in many ways. Joanne, thank you for being with us. What a privilege.
Thank you so much.
Roger?
Well, today's program is called The Joy of Simplicity in a World of More. It's part two of a two-part conversation featuring author and speaker Joanne Heim. If you want to learn more about her books, her writing, her speaking, go to homeward.com and you can just go to the radio broadcast tab and there's a link there to Joanne's website as well. Also, this program is archived, so if you'd like to listen to it again or if you'd like to encourage a friend to check us out, discover the wonders of the Homeward website, there's no subscription fee. Go to homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com. You can hit the radio broadcast button and look at the archives. You can sign up for the Good Advice Parent newsletter. There's lots of things you can do that don't cost anything when you go to HOMEWORD.com.
In closing today, I actually want to share with you one of my favorite stories, and it's called Lessons from Brother Jeremiah, and he was actually a Catholic monk in another period of time. And in the later years of his life, this wise old man was reflecting on the way he had spent his time on earth, and I think he came up with some pretty powerful principles, and here they are. He wrote, "If I had my life to live over again, I'd try to make more mistakes next time. I would relax. I would limber up. I would be sillier than I've been on this trip, and I know of very few things that I would take as seriously. I would take more trips. I would climb more mountains. I would swim more rivers. I would watch more sunsets. I would do more walking and looking. And I would eat more ice cream and less beans." That actually cracks me up when I read that. "I would also have more actual troubles and fewer imaginary ones." Amazing comment. "Oh, I've had my moments," he says, "and if I had it to do over again, I'd have more of those moments. In fact, I'd try to have nothing else, just moments one after another, instead of living so many years ahead of each day. I've been one of those people who never go anywhere without a thermometer, an aspirin, and a parachute." Of course, that's from another decade, probably. "If I had it to do over again, I would go more places, do more things, and travel lighter than I have." But then he goes on to say, "But I can't," because he was actually dying of a disease. Now, I love the phrase traveling light, and that's my prayer for you today. Take the first step towards simplifying your life. Whatever that step is for you, just do it.
Good idea. Great recommendation. By the way, if you want to find that tip sheet, go to homeward.com and hit the articles and media button and type in Brother Jeremiah and you'll find it. All the tip sheets in there, there are thousands of them. Articles, tip sheets, video clips, anything that's in the articles and media section you'll find does not have a cost. And we encourage you to check that out. Browse around at homeward.com. Also, the Good Advice Parent newsletter that comes out once a month and it's a very, very helpful resource. If you're listening to if you were listening to today's program and you thought to yourself, wow, I got to find a way to kind of unclutter my life and maybe unclutter my parenting style a little bit, the Good Advice Parent newsletter comes chock full of resources, a good 4 or 5 different articles. It's all electronic. They're all linkable, so you can go and experience the multimedia experience that way too. You can sign up for the Good Advice Parent newsletter at homeward.com. And a reminder that a subscription to the Good Advice Parent newsletter, the daily online devotional, the culture brief, all of those are free. So check them out. Take advantage of these resources. It's email that you want to get from homeward.com.
Thanks, Roger, and thank you for your ongoing prayers and your financial support to make it possible for us to bring you great programs like today's program. Your partnership also enables us to extend the reach of Homeward into areas like our events, publications, online ministries, our daily devotional and monthly parenting newsletter. And if you don't know about that, then I encourage you to go to homeward.com. We appreciate your financial support, especially today. We could use it. And we're not looking just for people to support us once. We want a growing number of people to come alongside the Homeward movement. Let's make a difference in families together. And obviously, you can give us a call. Roger gives the number often. You can go to homeward.com and get all the information you need to become a part of the Homeward financial family in many ways. You're helping us reach out, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.